Welcome to the Experience Darden podcast. I'm your host, Brett Twitty, and you are listening to a new episode. On this episode of the podcast, I'm excited to share my recent conversation with Sloane Gray. Sloane is a second-year student in our full-time MBA class of 2024, and she is also pursuing an MBA Master's of Education dual degree here at the University of Virginia. Sloane and I recently connected to talk more about her background, her decision to pursue a dual degree, the student organization she's been involved with during her time at Darden, and so much more. As always, if this conversation is helpful for you, please like this episode and subscribe to Experience Darden so you never miss an update. And remember, you can always check the episode description for links to Darden blogs, social channels, and more resources for tips, insights, and stories about the Darden experience. Now, without further ado, here's my interview with Sloane Gray. Sloane, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Brett. Happy to be here. Excited, a little nervous. This is my first official podcast.
I will say for most of our guests, this is their first podcast appearance. So it goes that way. But thank you so much for taking time. How is everything going? How are you doing?
Things are going well. Currently on, I'd call it a half spring break from Darden. Just started back with ed classes online. But right now, very calm, very not stressed. So trying to take advantage of that before next week.
All right. As our listeners are picking up, you're a dual degree student here at the MBA Master's Education program. We'll talk a little bit more about that. But before we get there, let's talk about you. Tell us who you are. What's your background?
Yeah, I'd love to. So I'm originally from Atlanta, Georgia, born and raised. My dad owns a construction company. My mom was kind of a jack of all trades growing up. She worked in a restaurant for a long time, learned bookkeeping, and then went to work for my dad. So grew up in a very entrepreneurial like family. And then I was always very good at math when I was younger. And so I ended up going to school in Georgia, Valdosta State University, which is in South Georgia, about 4 hours south of Atlanta, right before you get to Florida. If anyone's ever driven through there, they probably took a bathroom stop there. But anyway, so I went to VSU or Valdosta State University and pursued a math degree because I thought I really wanted to be a teacher. Had always loved teaching growing up and had mentioned like I had always been good at math. So thought that would be a great fit. But right towards the end of my undergrad, I got involved with some friends on what ended up becoming a education startup. So it's called Ine Coaching. That's where I worked for 8 years before coming to Darden. And we did leadership. We started with leadership and teamwork coaching in schools, mostly middle school and high schools. And then that evolved into tutoring and education programs for foster care students and a whole lot of other things. But anyway, so that's kind of my before Darden background.
Well, how did you decide you wanted to pursue an MBA?
That's a great question. So like many other people, I feel like during COVID, our company went mostly online, which is a big change because I was used to being in front of students, like interacting with teachers. And I realized, wow, I don't really like this as much as I thought I did before. And so I literally started looking at every career possible, counseling to an MBA, to master's education, to whatever, whatever I could think of. And so I kind of, towards the end of my undergrad, one of my best friends was an econ major, and that kind of got me a little interested in business. I had taken some business classes right before I graduated. And then at the time, my brother-in-law was pursuing his MBA. And I kind of saw what that was like for him, the transformation it had in him, and the opportunities that it allowed him to go into afterward. And so putting those two things together, I started kind of saying, maybe that would be a good fit for me. And like I tell many people, he's definitely a big proponent of me actually pursuing it because I was a little hesitant, a little nervous. And he was like, go for it. And he pushed until I was kind of all in.
Where did that hesitancy, that nervousness come from?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think For one, I listened to a few of the other podcasts. You've had a few of my friends on recently, and I feel like they all mentioned like they came from non-traditional backgrounds, which is becoming less non-traditional. But I think that was part of it. Like I had just joined a startup right after school with my friends. Like I didn't have any corporate experience. I didn't really think I was prepared at the time when I was applying, which was kind of late when I started to understand other people's processes. I think I started even knowing what the names of business schools were around October before round two, which was due in January, had never taken like any of the tests or anything. So I think I would just thought I was unprepared. I'm very much of a planner and meticulous. So I just thought this is like maybe, but I should kind of wait maybe and kind of wait till next year, see what's out there. Get a little bit more prepared. So yeah, I think that's why needed a confidence boost.
Yeah, it's amazing to me as people get into this process, been very successful, you know, talented people, but something about the application process, thinking about business school, it just feels intimidating. It makes people feel a little unsure of themselves. And yet there's so much reason to be confident and excited about this step. As admissions people, this is something we talk a lot about. There's no one right student here. There's no one typical student at Darden. So many different kinds of backgrounds, academically, professionally. But I think it can be hard to believe that as a prospective student. I'm not sure. People seem a little skeptical sometimes when we share that.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, that's where I was. And I feel like that's one thing that this journey has done for me in particular is just given me confidence after you write even the application process itself, like after you write a million essays about what you want to do and who you are and having to frame like my background and experience in a way that made sense to people and why I wanted to pursue an MBA. I think even the process of going through that kind of boosts your confidence a little bit and realizes, wow, like I'm not just this one person, but like I've accomplished a lot and I've had a lot of impact. But I do, I mean, even now I talk with prospective students, like I talked to a prospective student recently and I was kind of disappointed because she ended up not applying to Darden because she didn't think that she had like, you know, she applied to some other schools, but she didn't think that she had like what it took, I guess, to get here. And I hated to hear that. Like, you know, if she didn't think it was a good fit, like that's a different story. But I completely agree, Brett, that there's more people have more to offer than they realize.
Yeah, I can file that maybe under like we're all our own worst critic. We probably are a lot harder on ourselves than other people would be on us. We're a lot more understanding, accepting of other people. I mean, this is like some deep psychology stuff that, you know, we don't normally go here on the podcast, but I think it's relevant. I mean, nothing like applying to something to kind of make you feel vulnerable in this way or thinking about applying. And I think, you know, just remembering that, like what you've done, celebrating all these things that you've accomplished, seeing the application process, a way to be sort of joyful about, you know, all that you've done to get you to this point where you're thinking about taking this incredible step in your life. That's something to be celebrated for sure. And you know, why not take that chance? See what happens. So, Sloan, how did you get interested in a dual degree, MBA, master's education? How did you decide that was the right path for you?
Yeah, so I decided later on. So I had already gotten into Darden. I had actually already started Darden. I didn't even know that the dual degree program existed, which is hopefully something I'll talk a little bit about later, which is I'm passionate now about sharing. But when I spoke about like looking into every single career, well, one of the degrees I thought about getting was a master's in education because of my background. I had worked in education, but I had a pure mathematics degree. Like I had never had an education degree. And so when I got to Darden during my first year, at the time, a couple second years, which are now alumni 23, they were in the program and it said, you know, like you can still apply. You can actually apply up until I think it's December. I don't know if they've changed that, but I'm pretty sure it's like a rolling application because you could start classes your first year, third quarter, which is like in the spring of your first year. And so I talked to more students and I was like, I had most of the concerns that I hear prospective students having what's the workload like? How much is this going to cost? Like, is this going to extend my, you know, time here, like as a student? And all of those questions were answered. The workload is a little bit more, especially if you start a little bit later, because a lot of the times if you start early in the program, you'll take two or three classes the summer before you would start Darden. But what the other parts that I heard was it's doable. It's manageable. You can balance it. I saw that you had Aiden on the podcast. Shout out to that one. I think it was 250 if people want to hear more about that process. But the finance part is like very minimal. And then the other part too was that the timeline. You finished the same timeline as you would have finished before, even though I started later. So when I kind of weighed the costs and benefits, I knew that I really was passionate about education. I knew it wouldn't be my next step right after Darden, but I knew I would end up back in it. And so I really wanted to kind of have that formal education around something that I had just kind of bootstrapped and learned through experience, and to just kind of have that degree to say, okay, like this person knows what they're talking about. And so that's kind of a long-winded version of saying that that's kind of how I got interested in it. I was already at Darden before I even thought about it.
That's interesting. That's not a path I'd heard yet here on the podcast. We've talked to some of the dual degree students. So thank you for sharing that, Sloan. I want to talk a little bit about your Darden journey specifically. So come to Darden, you're a brand new business school student navigating your first year. What was that adjustment like?
Yeah, it was a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. So because I was in education, I didn't think like the coursework side would be as challenging. I think a lot of people are intimidated by like the math or quant heavy courses. That didn't really scare me because of my math background. But what I underestimated was, one, being a student again, like coming back to school. I think I started, I was like 30-ish. And so I hadn't been in a school environment in 8 years, almost 9 years. That was a hard adjustment. And I think the other side too was I'm pretty introverted. I think being in this program has definitely brought me out of my shell and given me like tools to share more, but very introverted, especially when I started. And so having to be constantly with the case method, which is something that drew me to Darden, having to constantly be on and talk to your classmates and talk in class and then learn, and then your learning team, like you're literally just on from 8 a.m. until 9 p.m. at night. And for me personally, that was exhausting. And I really had to learn how to manage and cope and learn how to take breaks of just, you know, dealing with being an introvert in a very social, in my opinion, extroverted environment, where even I've heard extroverts tend to get a little exhausted too.
What was your approach in terms of, you know, managing that? Because I mean, we have introverts here at Darden. We have extroverts here at Darden. I think sometimes people listen sort of the case method, discussion based, a lot of social aspects of the program. They think that, oh gosh, do I have to be an extrovert here? So like, how did you manage your energy going through that experience?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I think at the beginning it was hard. And I think at one point I realized I have to focus on what I want to accomplish out of the program, like what I want to get out of it. And I have to like be me. And so I think at the beginning I was trying to be more just a version of myself that I'm not. talking and going to all these events and, you know, just doing a lot of the things that are awesome that the program offers, but you don't have to do everything. And so I think one thing I learned to cope with is learning how to say no and yes to the right things, learning to take breaks, you know, not to like do all the social things after class. I even like very small tips for me was like in between classes, like instead of going to first coffee every time, which is, you know, can be very fun and you get to meet people, like just going off and taking a walk by myself, you know, to kind of get some air. So I think I just learned, you know, how to navigate it for myself. And you're right. Like you definitely don't have to be extroverted to do well or to enjoy the program. You just have to learn how to be okay with being you and what that looks like.
Yeah, I love that point. I think that's one of the consistent themes of the podcast, honestly, as we talked with current students, being accepting of who you are, understanding that, you know, what your priorities are, why you're here, what you need for self-care and to navigate this experience. It's going to be different than somebody else. And that's okay. Everybody's kind of on their own path here, moving through the program together. So so you talked a little bit about the adjustment process. Just to the MBA program being back in school, how was it doing the dual degree, having these two commitments as you've navigated the program?
Yeah, I think I really like how they structure the program. I feel like it's very intentional. So at the very beginning, there was one class that we took in addition to Darden classes. And then over the summer, I took another class during my internship. And then in second year now, I'm taking three. So I think that gradual ramp up of, you know, as you're kind of going out of the very rigorous first year, the classes that you take for ed increase. And then the flexibility of it being online, they do have classes that you can go in person to if you wish, but you can do your whole program online. So that makes it a lot easier to manage with Darden. But yeah, I think that adjustment was a lot easier than I expected. Not saying it's not challenging, but just the gradual process of how the classes are.
One of the things as we were warming up for this call that you've been able to do is stay engaged and do a lot of things outside of the classroom too. You know, the list is quite long, but I want to start by maybe talk about your startup interest. You're a member of the KPI Club, which we talked about here on the podcast, but for folks who are less familiar with that, what is the KPI Club?
Yeah, so the KPI Club is, excuse me, a non-official club at Darden for women entrepreneurs. So we literally get together every other week, talk about our startups, practice our pitches, talk about, you know, what we're working on that week, what we're maybe need help with, or, you know, you can ask other, we call it ask other women in the group to, you know, help if you're stuck on something with your startup. So doing a startup can be very lonely. So it just creates a good support system. And at Darden, you're also a student, so you're also very busy. So it also keeps you accountable for just making steps and moving forward.
And you also mentioned that you have a startup that you launched with your sister, you're working on with your sister. Do you want to tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I would absolutely love to. So currently working on a startup called Autra Wellness, A-U-T-R-A Wellness. Co-founded with my sister. My sister's a nurse practitioner. And she, over this past summer, she was sharing that, you know, she really wanted to do more in the wellness space and just teach people things that she had learned over time. And I myself have just kind of transformed my own health and wellness the past, like, I don't know, since college, maybe 10 years. And so I was like, let's just do a startup together. So we started it this summer, thankfully entered into some of the competitions that are at UVA and at Darden. We were awarded some grants through Darden and through UVA, which was amazing. And right now we're working on launching the actual coaching part of our program. So feel free to check us out. It's autrawellness.com, A-U-T-R-A wellness.com. And then we also are on Instagram at B Aubrey Well, sorry.
What is the idea of the wellness venture? You know, I mean, you may be formulating some of this, recognize it's maybe at an early stage, but how are you thinking about your wellness venture?
Yeah, so our focus is really to provide, one, wellness resources to people, whether that's education or suggestions on products or recipes, or just how do you get to your personal goal of what wellness looks like for you? The whole premise is that it's holistic. So it's not just working on exercise or just working on your diet or just working on your mental wellness, but like, how does that all play together? And then the actual service that we offer is coaching or consulting. So looking at what are your personal wellness goals and then how do we get you there gradually over time?
It's interesting. What you mentioned, the sort of your sister has this background. What is, how did you feel like your Darden experience, the time that you've had here on Grounds, has helped you with thinking about this venture and potentially growing?
Yeah, I would say number one is just the confidence to help and do and encourage. I think you need a lot of confidence and courage to even start a startup. And so I've taken a lot of the classes here that Darden offers, Effectual Entrepreneurship. The name's escaping me, but I think Jim Zeffoletti was on here. You actually get to work on your startup. So some of the classes, KPI Club was that part of it. But as far as just my one, the background, like understanding business, how it works, you know, the core was helpful. And then also that blended with my, the dual degree and my education background, kind of understanding, like, you know, when you're talking about coaching, a lot of it is about education and how do you get someone from point A to point B? And that has a lot to do with just educating people and how do you, you know, transform someone's process. So I think the blend of like being an MBA student and the dual degree with the MED program has just helped me think in a very different, innovative way and systematic way of how do you approach something like a wellness startup and make it profitable, but also helpful for people.
Yeah, the class I think you're thinking of is Venture Velocity that Jim teaches.
I took the class, yes.
It's all good. I really enjoyed that conversation with him. Because the idea is like to help move your venture forward, right? So get from where you are to taking the next step. I really enjoyed that conversation. Highly recommended for anybody listening to this podcast. But in entrepreneurial offerings here at Darden, it's both extracurricular and also there's curricular offerings. As mentioned, Effectual Entrepreneurship, Venture Velocity are two of the classes that come to mind. You're also involved in a number of other things, Building Goodness in April. You want to talk a little bit more about what that is?
Yeah. So I am the president of the club called Building Goodness in April. And our whole premise is we fundraise. We have a pretty fun auction that we do in the fall. All Darden students raise the money. And then the money that we raise goes toward like repairs and repairs. It's not actually building, but repairs and things that people need on their homes that they can't afford. A lot of the times it's elderly people that we end up getting partnered with through a local nonprofit here called Building Goodness Foundation. They connect us with different community members. And so this spring we'll actually be doing our big, what we call a build day, where we'll have six different projects in the community of where we'll use the money that we raise to, it could be like building a fence, it could be doing repairs. We also partner with contractors to do some of the work that is beyond what students can do, but we also have a big day where students, all the Darden students that want to participate will come out and volunteer their time and just kind of have fun helping the community.
That's an organization I've heard quite a bit about here. So it's great to have someone who knows it well here on the podcast. People are always asking, and prospective students will oftentimes ask, how do Darden students get involved in the community of Charlottesville? How do they actually engage? Building Goodness in April is always one of the first organizations I think about, along with community consultants of Darden. It must be nice to kind of get out there and to help out in this way.
Yeah, it is. And that's one of the reasons that I was drawn to being on club leadership was it's an opportunity where you can actually give back to the community. I felt like during my undergrad experience, I did a little bit of that. But right after undergrad, I ended up working in the community for like 8 years. And I was like, man, I wish if I ever go back to school, like I want to make sure that I actually benefit the community that I'm going to school in. And so I think it's a very important thing. And Darden does, we have a lot of opportunities, whether it's community consultants of Darden. I participated in that last year where you get paired with a business or organization and you're pretty much consulting for free. And then BGIA, Building Goodness in April, there's PrEP. I don't know if anyone's been on the podcast to talk about PrEP, but that's another opportunity where students get to actually teach people that are incarcerated. There's so many different opportunities that I think if you have a heart for just nonprofits or making a difference in people's lives, you can definitely easily get involved in that here. I think on the podcast that you did with Yona, I heard him make a comment about he felt like business school was like where people go when they're just basically just trying to make a lot of money and don't really care about how, you know, it affects people or the environment. And I think he found quite a different experience when he got here. And I think I didn't really think that coming in. I really didn't know what to expect, but I think there's definitely so many opportunities at Darden. I think that's one of the benefits of coming to Darden.
Yeah, I think, and we talk about this a lot, some of the faculty members in particular, like we have like ethics mock classes. The faculty will always say, like, you know, what do people really think about business people or maybe MBAs? That's a very grim view, right? It's like, they're just concerned with the bottom line, shareholder value, like all this negative stuff. And the message here at Darden's different than that, right? It's more about how do you create broad value for all the stakeholders here? And how do you think about sort of these impacts of this decision in this very broad way? And business as a force for good, business as it exists in society. These are all in operation here. And I appreciated Yona's comments and sort of the journey that he was on as he learned more about Darden. And obviously students play a big part in this. He is involved in the PREP program, which is the prison reentry education program that's run by Greg and Tierney Fairchild here at Darden. And that is a program every person that I've ever talked to who's ever done it, it's described as possibly the most impactful thing that they've ever done during their time at Darden. It just sticks with people, the work that they do, getting out, working with incarcerated individuals, helping them sort of along this journey as they think about reentering society. It's an incredible work.
Yeah, it really is. I didn't get a chance to participate in it, but I've had a few friends, Yona, and one person that have done it and have shared that. So it's really great.
All right. Well, let's talk just a little bit more. Other things that you're involved with that you would want to highlight here? Anything that you would want to share?
Yeah. Let me think. So one thing that I've been excited to be a part, although I'm not officially on a board or anything, is the First Generation Low Income Initiative. So they're working to become a club at Darden. But I think Chloe and Hoysan were on the podcast earlier talking about it. So if you really want to hear more, probably should listen to that one. But I've enjoyed being a part of that community. And just being able, it's a very diverse community too, international and domestic students, but just kind of people that have had probably a different background than what a traditional MBA student coming into probably has, probably didn't see a lot of people that took that path, maybe even were discouraged from that path. So I've been encouraged by that. There's actually a broader organization or club, a grad student club, a first gen low income. I got to participate in like a mentor day where they paired grad students with undergrad students, and just kind of sharing different opportunities and encouraging. So that was a really cool experience. And then the other club that I'm on the board for, or now outgoing as a second year, is Darden Christian Fellowship. That just provides a space for people that are Christians that come together. We provide Bible studies. I lead a like Tuesday morning kind of little encouragement during first coffee, and then retreats and other things. But that community has also been beneficial to me because that's my personal background. So it's been a very encouraging space and a place to learn and grow. I can't think of anything else right this moment, but that's what comes to mind.
Well, I think that's quite a bit. I mean, we talked about the KPI club, building goodness in April. You have your dual degree responsibilities, Darden Christian Fellowship. I mean, there's a lot that's on your plate, this load. So I think that more than covers it. Do you know what you're doing after graduation? Have you figured that out yet?
I thankfully have. I'm excited. I will be going into brand management at Procter & Gamble. Just found out I will be in oral care. Don't really know what brand yet, but very excited about that. I kind of mentioned like looking at all these different careers and like wanting to figure out what I wanted to do next after my last career in education / entrepreneurship. And brand was something that really stuck out to me because I felt like I could use my entrepreneurship love, but be in a space where as an entrepreneur, you have to basically find your own means, your own money, but to get paid and to learn skills that I hadn't before. So I'm very excited to go and be at P&G starting the summer.
Nice. Well, excellent. Well, congratulations on that. I wonder if there are any things you're looking forward to in the coming months. I know you're kind of in the final phase here. Countdown to graduation has begun. Anything that's on your bucket list, so to speak?
Yeah, my husband and I have been really wanting to just explore Charlottesville and the surrounding areas more. So for instance, last week we went to Richmond for the week and just kind of went to museums and different things they have to offer there. So we've just been trying to take advantage of being in Virginia. I think I mentioned before, I was born and raised in Georgia and was there until coming to Darden. So I think that's been a big thing. There's a lot of trails and like hikes and stuff here. So we've been trying to take more advantage of that. But yeah, I think it's just been trying to enjoy Charlottesville before we leave.
Yeah. Do you have any favorite Charlottesville activities? Something like if our listeners would like to spend a day in Charlottesville, you would encourage them to keep in mind?
Oh, that's hard. Depending on the season, I would say Carter Mountain is really fun. It's an apple orchard. They have other things too. But during certain times of the year, they have music and food trucks and the apple cider donuts are really good if you're a donut fan. And then hiking, there's so many different trails. If you're really into hiking, I would say like doing Shenandoah is like a big thing. We haven't really done a lot. What's it called? I think it's called Raven's Roost. It's like an overlook. So if you're not super into hiking, like me and my husband like trails and like leisurely walking, but we're not super into hiking, but that's a fun place where you can just drive up and see the beautiful mountain view. But yeah, I think those are been my favorite things. And if you're here, definitely have to do.
Well, Sloan, last question for you. What's a piece of advice you would share with our prospective student listeners?
Yeah, I think number one, I think we kind of talked about this at the very beginning of the podcast, but just, you know, if you're interested in a certain school or you're not sure about applying, I would say go for it. The worst thing that can happen is they say no. But I think the process itself just makes you a better, more informed and confident person. And then the second thing I would say is as you're deciding what schools you want to apply to, or if you get into a bunch and you're trying to figure out which one to go to, talk to students, talk to admissions, listen to podcasts like this, like get a feel for how the school and the community is. Because especially if you talk to the first year students, like those are the students that you will be around when you go there. That's the community that you'll be around. So I think that was a huge, huge thing that helped me when I was deciding. And then I'll add a third one. Keep an open mind. Darden was not actually my first choice when I, you know, started the process. Like I got into some other schools, but I was just impressed by the students that I talked to. They offered a mentor program, and my mentor, this doesn't happen to everybody, but my mentor ended up being like a mentor through my whole Darden experience, and I still talk with her. So I would say just keep an open mind. Like you never know what school actually might be right for you. So back to the second piece of advice, make sure you talk to people and just really kind of get a feel for how that school is and how you'll fit in.
Yeah, to me, culture is one of the big differentiators between programs. You know, when you look on the website, Well, schools kind of seem the same on some level, right? They're all talking about the same things, but the expression of these things, very different school to school. Current students can certainly help you get a pulse. Alumni can help you get a pulse. If you can visit, also really good. Just spend some time, the ambient feel, just seeing how people engage. There is like a gut aspect to this, as cerebral as we want this decision to be. Like there's just a gut kind of feel you have at the end of the day.
Yeah, I totally agree. There's a lot of great programs out there. So the best way to figure out what's best for you is to think like, where would I fit? I have to be here for 2 years, or I get to be here for 2 years. So what's the best route?
Well, Sloan, thank you so much for your time today. It was great talking with you. Good luck as you close out this final quarter in your garden journey. And congratulations on everything.
Yeah, thank you so much. I enjoyed it too, and it was great and an honor to be on the podcast.
And that was my interview with Sloan Gray, a second-year student in our full-time MBA class of 2024. As always, if you have any comments, suggestions, requests, anything you'd like for us to cover here on the podcast, we're all ears. We can be reached at Darden, that's D-A-R-D-E-N, at virginia.edu. Until next time, stay safe, be well, and thanks for listening.